Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the fan on opening day, just hours away from Yankee baseball, and I can't wait. And we started the show, BT, a couple hours ago talking about the expectations for the Yankees going into this year, where they built a team to try to go win a World Series, and then just moments ago, we were handed the official roster for opening day. I got to be honest with you. I think I changed my tune. You're right. Maybe a playoff appearance would be good for this Yankee team. Whether it's injuries or what, this Yankee roster is not World Series caliber. Although it is a year for me where it's World Series or bust, at the very least making the World Series, whether I think they're going to get there or not doesn't matter. They built their team to try to get to and win a World Series. And for me, anything short of that would be a failure for this Yankee team.
Have we learned nothing from previous Yankee failures? So it's not a star-studded roster. So what? I mean, how many times did the Yankees go into a season? Giambi, Sheffield, all these big names, Hall of Famers, borderline Hall of Famers, would-be Hall of Famers if it wasn't for steroid implications, and they won nothing. There's a lot of different ways to get to the finish line here. And to me, and I'll give you the Yankee lot of it in a sec, there's a scrappiness, there's a circularness, if you will, to the lineup that's been missing. You know, when you talk about a lineup, there really should be no end point. Those are the best lineups. It's just one big circle. Just keep the train moving. This guy's competent, this guy's competent, this guy's competent, this guy could run, this guy's got good bat-to-ball skills. And the Yankees really had their best lineup in years. And obviously, with Soto, it makes it that more demonstratively good. I don't know if I'd be sitting here saying the same thing if Soto's not on the team, but he is. I got news for everybody. So when the Yankees trot out their best 1-9, their pitchers are going to have to do just enough to keep them in the games early while Gerrit Cole comes back. And if they do and when they do, I think this Yankee lineup mashes their way to the postseason. Then let's see what happens. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah, look, it's in a World Series year and an all-in year for this team. After getting Soto for one season, you actually look at the names on paper. Ooh. Now, look, not having Gerrit Cole is a big part of that. And also, I know you dismiss LeMahieu and diminish his value, but also not having LeMahieu is also a part of that. You're talking about two key players on this roster. I mean, I had to look up, who the hell is Jay Jones?
Who cares? He's not playing today.
Jamal Jones?
Great.
I never heard of the guy.
He's not playing today.
I mean, you look at the Yankee, Birdie, who they just got. He's going to be one of the mainstays on the infield. And you look at the bullpen, Beeter, another Birdie spelled differently, Ferguson, Gonzalez, Weaver.
Yeah,
these are not exactly. Not exactly. Now, look, the Yankees, to their credit, have developed some of these guys. There's four or five guys you never even heard of. I mean, come on. Not to mention the starting rotation with Cortez, Rodon, Stroman, Clark Schmidt, Luis Gil. They better get Gerrit Cole back soon and LeMahieu back soon. Mm-hmm. Seriously, you look at those names on that roster. That gets you excited?
Well, what I'm not going to do is, and apparently...
I know it's opening day.
No. Apparently you're doing this. And I have done this before. Like, just because I don't know intimately somebody's background...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not going to say that they're not capable. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to say that.
Right.
What I am going to say is, today, you got Torres batting first. Stud.
Okay.
You got Soto batting second. Stud.
All right.
You got Judge batting third. Stud.
Right.
Now, the one thing that I don't love Stanton batting fourth. I think,
once you get to lefty.
No, I understood. And, you know, I would have been like, maybe 5-6 hole. But at least I think it's probably a better route to take if you start, because he did have a pretty good spring. He looked good. And we know he changed his body. I don't know if it's going to translate. I'm not banking on it. But if you put him in the four hole and he stumbles, then you could at least, you know, maybe drop him to fifth or sixth or maybe seventh, and then eventually it's bench time, and then maybe it's bye-bye time. If you start him 5 or 6, there's less room to operate with if he fails. So, and plus, it is a lefty to South's point. So, Stanton's batting 4, Rizzo 5, Volpe 6, Verdugo 7.
Wait. Hold on again. Stanton 4.
Stanton 4, Rizzo 5,
right.
Volpe 6,
ooh,
and Verdugo 7. Listen, if it's a righty, I think you flip Verdugo and
but
Volpe.
But still, I like Volpe getting high.
I do, too. And I also like, you know, Volpe as a much more of a threat on the bases with a with a lefty batter in the box behind him. And Verdugo makes baseball sense. You know, Trevino, all right, decent catcher, not much of a stick. I'm looking forward more to Wells, but obviously with the lefty, you start Trevino, Cabrera at third. That's not the answer, obviously. And Cortez. So it's a little top heavy. We'll see what happens. You can grunt and groan as much as you want. I can't wait.
Yeah, no, me neither. I can't wait either. But when you see the names out on the roster, does not ring to me like championship. Now, again, Gerrit Cole coming back obviously lengthens out that rotation and changes the entire look of that rotation. If you have LeMahieu in there, one spot, LeMahieu over the, you know, Jamal Jones, who I've never heard of before, it changes the look of the roster.
It pushes everybody down. Yeah. Then Cabrera's on the bench, and then maybe you have Torres in the five hole.
And the bullpen.
Different ways to do it, for sure.
Some injuries in the bullpen as well, but, I mean, the bullpen, a bunch of guys that...
Hey. Did Andy Fox excite you back? You know, like get you pumped up back in the day?
He stunk anyway.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
It's a spark plug.
Oh, yeah. Andy Fox, a spark plug. Look, your wish may come true. Just hope to get in the postseason. Have a fun little year watching Soto and Judge.
Well, no. It's not hoping. This is a misrepresentation of what I said. It's not hoping. I fully expect to get to the playoffs. Fully expect it. I'm on the record. 90-plus wins, playoff team. But I'm also understanding that, you know, these saying something in late March and, you know, Yankees don't make the World Series. It's a failure. I need a little context.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little wiser as I'm getting older here, Sal.
By the way, we started the show talking about those Yankees and their expectations. And if you missed it earlier on, you can go to the Odyssey app and use Rewind to listen to it. You could also get our podcast of the show in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Not only that, but we had a lot of stuff. We had a lot of fun so far in the first couple hours. It's a little game time at 11:40. And we'll have a lot more fun coming up. Yankees tickets to give away. Keith Hernandez coming up at 12:40. And our season over-unders as we get set here. Opening day, Yankees just hours away, 3:30 pregame beginning right here on the Fan. Les is in Mastic. What's up, Les?
Yes.
What's up,
Les?
How
are you? How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. You know, I wanted to say about the Yankees because I've been a Yankee fan since 1961.
Okay.
And which is interesting because from 60 to 61.
Mike is calling from New Rochelle. By the way, our friends at Town Fair Tire, we must have had a problem with the line there. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Mike is in New Rochelle. What's up, Mike?
Opening day, baby. That's what
there you go. There you go, Mike.
And we don't even have to play. You know what I'm saying? We're just going to sit back, lay back, take it easy. We're coming, baby. Mets. All right, but here's
Mets,
the thing.
What? We're talking about the Yankees. Man, Mets play tomorrow.
Tomorrow. I said tomorrow.
Yeah.
Today's the Yankees. Tomorrow's the Mets. But I just want to bring up something real quick that means a lot to me. My pop, he's up in the sky now for 20 years. And for the first 10 years that he was gone, I bought 2 tickets, one for me and him, and 2 beers for the first 10 years. And let me tell you, it means a lot. A lot of people, you know, they don't like, opening day. There's 100 and something other game. opening day, first game. I remember being young, playing hooky. My father used to take me every year, Shea Stadium, every year, like, until I can't forget. And then the priest used to come up and be like, "Hey, Michael, were you at the game this week, or were you sick?"
Yeah, and look, it's great to have those memories, and thank you for the call, Mike. It is great to have those memories. Of course, in your particular case with your father, who's no longer with us, just in general. I mean, I love going opening day. If you could have, you know, we'll be at Yankee Stadium next week for the home opener.
We will be.
Home
Can't
openers
wait.
Are special. I don't even care if the games are played here, the home opener, just the opener in general. It is the start of something special. And it is a time to look back. We used to have the tradition. I used to watch that, you know, Let's Go Mets video every year before we went to the games. I went to like 20.
The song.
Yeah, your song. I used to watch the video and get pumped up. It's just, it's the beginning of our favorite season with baseball. So whatever memories, you know, Mike with his father there, whatever you may have of opening day, I'm sure Colt, you know,
he's coming again this year.
There
he's been in the last couple of years. We've been out of Hard Rock. He's coming. I love that stuff. You know, that's what separates baseball. It's what make, you know, I know not everybody's a baseball family. It's deeper and in more embedded in our DNA locally here than some other cities.
It's part of our history.
It's part of our
history. With the three teams dating back to the Giants.
The Dodgers, the resilience, always losing before finally cracking through in 55. Willie Mays at Polo. You had Willie, Mickey, and the Duke.
Right.
I mean, it's just flipping baseball cards, playing stickball, talking smack. Then I didn't play stickball, but the previous generation, us playing wiffle ball, me being the Yankees, my buddies being the Mets, and going through the whole lineup and emulating each batting stance to a T. And then watch it on PIX and Channel 9 and Kiner's Corner. It's nothing like it, man.
Also, BT,
it's the best.
Because of the length of the season and because of the games every night, it's unlike anything else.
Yep.
It's, once you start, it is there with you for 6 months. I remember saying this at the time, like, girlfriends may come and go, things may happen, you know, with friends, whatever. Baseball's there for you.
Yeah.
6 months out of the year, you know you're putting on that game at 7 o'clock or 4 o'clock in this particular case, 3:30 pregame right here on the Fan. You get the point. It's there for you every night for 6 months.
Well, I love the way you say it because, you know, we not so much you and I, but a lot of people, and they've made some revisions to the game, which has sped things up a little, and they had to because it had to start to more accurately reflect the speed of society. There was too much of a gap, like the glacial pace of baseball versus the hopped-up, you know, microwave speed of the world. It just wasn't congruent. They had to change things. But baseball is still a little slow. Baseball still could be a little laborious. But you know what baseball is? Dependable.
Right.
Every night. And I remember doing something this year, and I don't know that I've ever done this because I've only owned the home for a couple of years now. I got back from wherever I was, and the kids were out, and Jen was with the kids. And I remember putting John and Susan over my my speakers in the backyard. I just started, you know, I love my grass and my arborvitaes, and I'm watering it, and I just cracked open a beer. Then I reached for a second beer. It was a Tuesday, Wednesday night, nothing nuts. And just such great pleasure, like, you know, watching the sun go down and listening to the game having a nice, something Coors Light, nothing nuts. It was so satisfying, and yeah, nothing makes me feel the way I feel like baseball. It's the best.
Love it. Dan is calling from Poughkeepsie. What's up, Dan?
Thank you for taking my call.
All right, Dan.
But, you know, I'm concerned about something with the Yankees. One thing concerned is they got all that power, but my concern with the power is, you know, it comes to the power, strikeouts. And to me, a strikeout is a non-productive out. So I'm sure the Yankees are going to lead the league in strikeouts with all those power hitters, but, you know, if they can cut down the strikeouts, I think we'll be better off.
Well, I think they're going to, Dan. I think that's the whole point. And, you know, Gleyber Torres, this requires a little bit more of a deeper dive, but even if you don't dive into the numbers, and maybe you don't, Dave, and I respect that. I do more than you, I guess, but rely on some of these numbers. But you can just tell, like, Gleyber Torres, and he's batting first, that's why I'm going with him right now. You know, his contact rate improved last year. His walk rate went up. His strikeout total went down again. Like, there's been a little recalibration in his approach. So I don't think Gleyber's going to strike out as much as you think. Yeah, Soto's going to whiff a little bit there, not as much as Judge, but Soto's on base 45% of the time. He leads baseball. He's always on base. So you're going to get some whiffs, but it's not going to adversely affect the amount of times he's on base. And Aaron Judge is, when he's healthy, he's an absolute machine. Verdugo has a much better profile, and there's enough evidence to suggest it's not, you know, smoke and mirrors. Like, he's 22 years old. He's been around, you know, 5-6 years, a lot of doubles, .281 lifetime average. He's played the playoffs. Verdugo is a massive upgrade over the left field gap they had a year ago. So when Rizzo's healthy, Rizzo's got a pretty discerning eye. I think the key for the Yankees would be really, really the key is to make sure that that bottom third doesn't just languish in unacceptable territory. And I don't think that it will. Because I think Wells, put me on record, I think Wells is going to bang, I'm going to say between 15 and 18, nothing crazy, 15 to 18 home runs. If he does something, and if Volpe goes from 209 to 250, everything about the Yankees changes.
Yeah, they need, well, obviously Volpe taking the next step, but they need balance. They need, and you maybe rely on some of the younger guys to provide that. I know Verdugo in this lineup now. Put the bat on the ball, put the ball in play, make things happen, have contact guys, not all or nothing type hitters where it's home run or strikeout. We've seen that fail with the Yankees time and time again. It's one of the reasons why I don't necessarily love the lineup, as you mentioned today, with Stanton in there. Mm-hmm. I don't trust Stanton bouncing back. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and we've mentioned this before. I'm rooting for Giancarlo Stanton. He's been overlooked. He's been, you know, kicked to the side by you and I both.
Oh, sure.
But he's always had the right attitude, and I think it'd be nice to see him bounce back. Outside of what I believe in that he's not going to do well, I would like to see him bounce back and have a big year. And if he does, combine then with Judge and with Soto, like really the Yankees, they don't need Rizzo and Stanton to both return to what they once were.
Yeah.
But if they get one or the other,
they'll get one. Rizzo will be fine.
Right. So
at least
you think
least
Rizzo
one.
Over instead
I think
of
Rizzo,
John
I
Carl.
Think there's a chance both. Like, define Stanton what you think would be a return to
an impact
whatever.
Bat. You know, 30 homers, an impact bat. Hey, how about this? Not 190?
I mean, I was going to say, can he hit 240? Is he even capable? I don't know.
Yeah, and be able to run the bases as opposed to walk the bases, that would be helpful too.
I don't know. I know Rizzo's capable of that. I don't know if Stanton is. Yeah. I'm rooting for him as well. I think he's a good guy. I think he's a pro. I think he's owned his failures, which you have to respect, even though it's frustrating to watch him play, making all that money. I'm not going to rule it out. You know, he's probably going to get hurt. But when he's out there with what's around him, and I think how hard it's going to be to navigate that first third of the Yankee lineup in terms of it's going to really tax pitchers early. That's one of the main things about this season I think is so awesome. And that's why Torres is so important to start, and eventually Volpe if he ascends to the one spot. The Yankees, with Soto and Judge 2-3, pitchers are coming out of that bullpen after they take their 8 warm-up pitches, right? And you shoot it down a second. They toe the rubber for real. They're going to be staring at 22, 23, 25 pitch innings in the first inning, which it's going to happen more than it's not because of the presence of Soto and Judge. And, not that big of a deal. No, it's a massive deal. Number one, they're going to the shower quicker. Number two, the opposing bullpen's coming in. And if it's game one or game two of a 3 or 4-game series, they're going to have to fire bullets early, which compromises them for the rest of the series. There's this, like, people don't look. It's always about what Soto's OPS. I get it. But the residual benefit to a Soto-Judge 2-3 combo is almost incalculable. That's how important it is.
BT and Sal on the Fan. When we come back, we'll have Keith Hernandez on with us. Talk about the New York Mets. We'll get their season started tomorrow. That's on the other side. Of course, Yankees opening day coverage coming up right here. 3:30 gets the season underway. Yankees in Houston to take on the Astros. Mets are supposed to be playing about a half hour from now, but of course their game got postponed until tomorrow. But to talk some Mets and get ready for opening day, we welcome to the show Keith Hernandez. And of course, tune into SNY tonight, 4:30 p.m. for the premiere of Dr. K, a new documentary celebrating Doc Gooden's upcoming number retirement. I told you about this. I saw it. They did a tremendous job. Joe Krause was excellent with it. It's great. Must watch for Mets fans. And then again, tune into SNY tomorrow as the Mets open the 2024 season versus the Milwaukee Brewers. Live coverage begins at 12 noon only on SNY, and Keith Hernandez will be there to get things started. Keith, how are you?
I am doing very good.
Are you excited about the Mets for opening day, Keith?
Oh, opening day is always special. I'm just glad that they called the game yesterday. Today would have been absolutely miserable. And so it should be a nice day tomorrow. A little chilly, but that's what you expect in late March, early April weather.
Keith, how are you feeling about this team? I know they made the late addition to J.D. Martinez. Me personally, it made me feel better about going into the season. They talk about making the postseason. Do you believe this team is a legitimate postseason threat?
I think with all the wild cards, all the teams, you know, last year, if you look, the teams that were, you know, 500 or a little above 500 were fighting for spots on the last spot, the last two spots in the wild card. Now, I think the Mets are better than that. I think that they're going to surprise a lot of people. I like their offense even without JD, even before they acquired JD Martinez, and that's a definite boost for sure. And, you know, it's all going to boil down to the pitching, and that's where it's at for every team. We've got some veteran pitchers in the starting rotation that are looking to bounce back. If they do, it'll be a lot of fun this summer. If they have a hard time, it could be dicey.
Yeah. You know, Keith, I think even the teams that are lining up a legitimate World Series run, at least on paper, everybody's got questions. So the Mets are no different. They seem to have a lot of questions, but I want to get your thought on this. Like, you hear a lot, well, if Marte so-and-so, if McNeil goes back to the 310 hitter that he should be, or if Alvarez does this in year two, or if Severino bounces back, if Beatty hits at this level, there's a lot of variables. Which of those, or something I didn't identify, that people aren't sure about specifically to a player that you think will be answered very positively?
Every year there's question marks, and you know, the people that are the that write about it and the team, they're gonna, you know, Marte missed most of last year. He was an invaluable piece of that 101 win season 2 years ago. If he comes back to form, it's going to be a huge boost to the lineup. I think it'll lengthen the lineup. I like him.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
In the two hole. But then that would be able to drop Lindor down and kind of lengthen the lineup, which JD Martinez has already, with his addition, has lengthened the lineup. Mm-hmm. We got question marks with Beatty, for sure. He did not have a good season last year. But you know what? It took me 3 years to get my feet wet. I got sent down my rookie year. The next 2 years, I got off the terrible starts, was benched. It took me 3 years to get it together. And so I never like to draw conclusions on young players. So the talent's there. You can, all 30 teams have the same questions, but I think the Mets have a lot of veterans that, and it's a good lineup. They're going to score runs.
Yep. Yep. We're talking, of course, Mets legend. That's Keith Hernandez, part of the SNY crew. Those guys are top notch. The SNY doc at 4:30 today about Dr. K. Would you going to be sick? And then tomorrow, all day on SNY, Mets open up the season. The Brewers live coverage at 12 noon, only on SNY. You know, I'm curious because I don't know where he profiles ultimately. I'm talking about Alvarez. I know he's going to be a stud. Is the event, when he hits his apex, whatever that is, Keith, is he a two-hitter? Is he a three-guy? Is he a four-guy? A five? What do you think ultimately is the best spot in the lineup for Alvarez?
Oh, he's a middle-of-the-order guy, in my opinion. You know, it depends on who the other pieces are. I mean, if you've got Pete, if Pete's going to stick around, he's your four hitter. Martinez, you know, he's a 1 year deal, but he's either a five or a six hitter in my book as he develops. And you know, he's got to do it. It's a sophomore year. He really had an up and down year offensively. He had one great month, and then he followed with a bad month, and he came back. and had a good month, and he had a bad month. He kind of had an up and down year. He's got power. He hit over 20 home runs, and that is something that will open your eyes. The potential is there. Plus, I really, really like the way he threw in spring training. He threw out half the runners. There were 16, I think, attempted steals. He threw out 8. And the day that I called the game, he threw out 4 runners, and that was very impressive. And in today's game, with a rule change about pitchers throwing over, which I hope they'll get rid of. I hate that rule. I mean, last year, I think it was an 86% success rate throughout Major League Baseball. Ugh. That's ridiculous. That can't happen.
What should it be, Keith? What number do you think it should be, just so we know?
I think they can throw over anytime they want. No one's going to throw over 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times. I mean, it's just unfair to have 3 times and all the puts all the more emphasis on having a good, strong throwing catcher. But inevitably, the game hasn't changed. They steal off the pitchers. Even Lou Brock, who I played with, they steal off the pitchers. And now with this rule, it's even more in their favor. And it showed up last year with the success rate and throughout Major League Baseball. I think that rule's got to go.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Keith Hernandez here. Live coverage on SNY for the Mets. Start tomorrow at noon. You know, Keith, you mentioned Alvarez in the spring, and I was going to ask you about the rotation. Anything that they did in the spring, because they had an impressive spring almost to a man, does anything that they did in the spring make you feel better about them going into the season?
Well, I would have loved to have gotten Jordan Montgomery, to be honest with you. He was out there, but maybe, you know, he doesn't, I don't know what his feeling is. He played for the Yankees. He performed better in St. Louis and then Texas, of course, last year. He's a solid pitcher. I don't know. Some guys don't like New York or don't like to play in New York. I don't know if that's him, but he had his options, and I'm sure the Mets were interested in him. So it was interesting that he wound up. Where did he go? He went to Arizona. Arizona's really, that really helped them. Along with getting the left-hander from Detroit, what's his last name, Rodriguez. I mean, that they really went out and helped themselves from, made themselves a better team. So, answer to your question, you know, I like Severino. Manaea is, they're all good gambles. They're 30 years old, and you think in terms of 30 years of age. Back in my day, you're 28 to 32 is your prime years. You're physically become a man, and you've got 4 good years before you start to diminish a little bit gradually after 32. So they're both 30. They should be right at the peak. So if they can get it back together, and Severino's got a, you know, he's had some great years. And Manaea has always been a guy with great stuff that just hasn't been able to put it together. But these are the question marks going into the season for the Mets.
Yeah, and that's probably going to determine what they do. That's probably the biggest question mark. Talking to Keith Hernandez, BT and Sal on the Fan. So everybody knows Pete posts and Pete mashes, but Pete's going to try to do something this year that he hasn't had to really do yet, and that is perform with the burden of the contract hovering over him. Have you ever had – I know the money's so different, Keith, but – it's got to be relative on some level. Did you ever have that issue? And you think, Pete, is there a possibility that that becomes a problem for him? That's a big mental juggle.
I think he'll be fine. I mean, Pete went through the worst month of his career last year. I forget whether it was July or June. He had his worst slump, and it was a month-long slump. And I was watching very carefully how he handled it. He was, you know, a month-long slump is that's a long time to be not feeling good at the plate and not performing. And he came out of it. So to me, that's a strength. He showed strength and resilience. He's a confident guy. Just look at his numbers. I mean, he's got a body of work now. Yep. He is a legitimate cleanup hitter, power hitter. To me, he's a modern-day Harmon Killebrew, who hit over 500 home runs and is a Hall of Famer. So I'm not worried about I don't think it's an extra burden. You have your agent handle that, and you just don't make it an issue during the season. You just say right away to the press, hey, I'm not talking about contract. I'm here to play ball and do the best I can this season. So we'll see what happens. I hope that he stays, but those aren't my decisions to make.
Keith, how's Haji doing ahead of opening day here?
Haji is back in the back on the heated tiles in my master bathroom. He's doing great. April 10th, he'll be 21 and a half.
Wow, man. 21 and a half.
So he's been drinking for a while the last couple of months, Keith, is what you're saying.
He's a tough cat, I'll tell you that. He's got detached retinas. He's blind and he can't hear. He's deaf, but his blood work is great and he's going strong and he wants to live. He's happy.
That's awesome.
Wait, he's deaf and blind?
Yeah, he's 21 and a half almost.
Oh, jeez. All right, well, hopefully he hangs in
there.
Maybe
the Mets can win one of these years for him before it gets too late. Come on, Haji, let's go. Give him something here.
You're going to be busy with the team, Keith. That's why I'm asking him. You get to spend the offseason with Haji, and now you're going to be traveling with the ball club, you know?
Well, it's always been that way. I've got someone that watches Haji when I'm gone, comes over. He's fine.
Yep, yep.
I just had to kind of cordon him off. But I can't let him roam the house because he can't see, and he'll get lost, and he might make a mistake on
all right.
The floor.
Well, hopefully all is okay with Haji. And Keith, before we let you go, and let's remind everybody, coverage begins tomorrow, 12 noon, only on SNY, and also later on today, 4:30 p.m., the premiere of Dr. K, a new documentary celebrating Doc Gooden's upcoming number retirement. Also catch Baseball Night in New York following that, with yours truly hosting it. My partner here, Keith, is a big Don Mattingly fan. I, myself, am a Keith Hernandez fan. Keith or Donnie, which one,
Keith? Here we go.
Oh, it doesn't matter. You can't go wrong with either one. Donnie was a great player. It's just a shame that his back slowed him down because he would have had, he had 9 gold gloves, and he probably would have surpassed me if his back didn't go sour on him. And he was just such a great player. And I was older than him. I mean, I was like 5 years older, I guess. So I was, when he was in his prime, I was on the tail side of my career, the backside. But Don's just a great player. And then this is, you take your pick, you can't go wrong.
Well, I mean,
it's not an answer, though, Keith. We're fishing for an answer, buddy.
I would personally, and again, you could chime in, please do, but I would personally side with 11 gold gloves and a couple of hardware for the fingers as well. You know, Donnie doesn't have that.
Well,
he's such an idiot.
I would have liked to have played in the American League where there wasn't a pitcher hitting in the 9 hole, and there was an actual professional batter in the 9 hole that would have given me more RBI opportunities.
Yep.
And Yankee Stadium, that right
center field. Here we go.
Come on, you bring up dirty bombs.
I would love that right field porch.
Yeah, but you know what, Keith? I know you would have, and you had to kind of swing, surgical, like you would have made the adjustments to pull the ball more. But I'm sure Donnie would have benefited from that bouncy turf out there in St. Louis when you had all those triples back in the day. So it goes two ways here, Keith, you know?
Oh, he would have had a lot of triples. It was 386 in that ballpark in the gaps. And when I was in my early 20s, I got a lot of triples. So,
I know you did. Yeah, I think didn't you lead the league in triples one year, like in 74?
No,
75?
I didn't, but I had double digits in triples.
Got it.
It would be fitting, yeah. Keith, and thank you so much for your time.
Awesome.
It's great to talk to you. A pleasure. We'll check out SNY's coverage again today starting at 4:30 with Dr. K, the premiere of that, then Baseball Night in New York, and then, of course, tomorrow, 12 noon, as the Mets open their season. But wouldn't it be fitting, Keith, to one day have you and Donnie go into the Hall of Fame together?
Oh, that would be spectacular. That would be just about wonderful. Man, New York would go crazy.
We would.
Cooperstown would be packed. And before I leave, I've seen the Doc Gooden documentary, too, and it is fantastic. So all the folks listening, don't miss it. And I'm not just blowing smoke. It is just really wonderfully done.
That's awesome. So some new stuff, because we've all seen the highlight montage, but some different stuff this time?
Just a lot of conversation with Doc.
That's nice. Very
touching, and Doc's a very real person.
Yep.
He's very honest and forthright. It's just really wonderful.
That's awesome.
And how about Keith? Because I did see it as well. How about him saying, I never knew this, and maybe you did, being his teammate. I didn't know that Doc was hoping in a certain way to get, Marty Barrett on base there so he could come into the game and have his moment because he felt like he let you guys down in the 86 World Series.
Yeah, he has that burden. I think he's being hard on himself. It was shocking when he got hit in the World Series, but you know what? He pitched great against Houston in the playoffs. He pitched fabulous, and we wouldn't have got there without him. I found it interesting that he said that his arm was done. He was dead. He didn't have any life on his fastball in the World Series. He was kind of spent. So I found that to be very interesting, that comment he made.
Well, Keith, listen, man, you guys, your booth is fantastic. You and Ronnie, you guys are obviously tight. Gary Cohen's as good as nuts and bolts play-by-player in the business. So looking forward to some great stuff in the booth. Hopefully an invigorated Mets offense and these arms come together. Give us a good season. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, and you got Diaz back, and he looked lights out like the Diaz 2 years ago. So when they have a lead in the ninth inning, you can book it.
Yep, trumpet time, lights out. I got you on that.
Thank you, Keith. You're the best. Good luck to you and Haji. And have fun this season in the booth.
Thank you.
Thank
and there you
Keith.
Have it, Keith Hernandez. And make sure you stay tuned to SNY. Like you said, I saw the documentary, yeah. Dr. K. It's terrific. They did a good job. Joe Krause, who did the Joe Klecko.
Yo, I saw the Klecko right. one for sure.
Yeah,
same guy.
So, exactly.
I saw it.
He's
it was
done
good.
A bunch of them. Yeah, so he did a great job with this. You got to check it out. Premieres 4:30 today on SNY. And then, like I said, keep it tuned there for Baseball Night in New York because I personally think that show is terrific. And then, of course, tomorrow, 12 noon, Mets coverage starts for opening day.
Okay, so real quickly on the Mattingly Hernandez stuff,
yes.
right? So, to me, the answer is Mattingly, with all due respect. And Mets fans say, Keith, I got it. Mattingly was a better hitter before he got hurt. And Keith was an amazing hitter. Donnie had more pop. We could debate this. There's nothing to debate. The numbers back that up. Keith was a better fielder slightly. I think Keith, the best defensive first baseman of all time.
It would be nice to have them both go in together.
There's no doubt. But what I was going to say was, I think one of the things, this is actually to prop up Keith maybe a little bit more than he gets when it comes to the Mattingly-Hernandez thing. So, because Mattingly was drafted as a Yankee, came up, 84 batting title, young pup, 85 MVP, 86 second in the MVP, so on and so forth. New York, especially back in the 70s when he didn't get to see all these games, New York missed, you know, a good chunk of Keith's prime. Imagine, I'm looking at the 79 season where he shared the co-MVP, right? 79, mm-hmm. Pirates, Stars, where they win the World Series. Keith Hernandez that year. Now, not as a Met, so this changes the dynamic, the Mattingly-Keith thing, but as a baseball player, 48 doubles, 11 triples. Now, only 11 home runs, but 48 doubles, 11 triples, batted .344. And as you know, as good a first baseman as there was. Scored almost 120 runs, and he wasn't even, you know, a big-time stealer, but, you know, a base runner, but he had, you know, double-figure steals. Like, if Keith would have done that in a Mets uniform, I think the conversation takes on a little bit of a different shape. You know what I mean? But because it happened with the Cardinals, the Mattingly-Keith thing is different. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, understood.
Okay.
But great to have Keith Hernandez on with us. Preview the Mets season, of course, coming up tomorrow. But now it's all about the Yankees as they get set to take on the Astros, open their season. All this talk and even me saying I can't believe it's going to happen. I can't believe, BT, at 4 o'clock and at 3:30, the pregame starts right here on The Fan. We're going to have a Yankee game to watch and listen to.
Oh, I can't. It's time to start banging.
Let's go, baby. And we'll do our over-unders coming up next hour. David is calling from the Bronx. What's up, David? All right, David's not ready. Jackson is in Plainview. What's up, Jackson?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
How are you, Jackson?
Hey, bud.
Sal, could you please stop?
Stop what?
With the Yankees World Series or bust? You have an agenda. You're what? Doing it so that you can laugh in October if things go wrong.
I'm not going
to be like, haha, World Series or bust. I told you so.
No, that's not what I'm going to do. I don't think the Yankees are any good. So I'll tell you that right now. I don't have to wait till October. I don't think the Yankees,
the Yankees
are World
Series. Any good?
Correct. What? I don't think the Yankees are World Series caliber. Yes, you heard that correctly.
What about the Mets?
We're talking about the Yankees, not about the Mets. The Mets suck. How many times do you need me to say that? I don't think the Mets are good either. The Mets, Jackson, let's have this conversation. I'm going to say to you, as somebody who's a Mets fan, the Mets can't win the World Series this year. They're not built to win the World Series this year. Can they make the playoffs? Maybe. They cannot win the World Series this year. Now, let me ask you, are the Yankees built to win the World Series this year?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So then we agree. So if they don't win the World Series or get to the World Series, it's a failure. I'm sorry. That's the reality.
No, it's not, because if it's Game 7 in the ALCS.
Yeah. Bye, Jackson.
And by the way, Jackson, you're letting them off the hook, because the easiest answer is, are the Yankees built to win a World Series? The answer is yes, but the next thing that you had to say is, because you said the first part is, and it's all hinging on Gerrit Cole returning.
Understood.
That's
fine.
And
that's
something the Yankees, now you could have said, well, they could have circumvented that, or maybe get a little reassurances in the event that he does not get Jordan Montgomery, get Blake Snell. I know, but we've had that conversation. I get part of it. But, you know, the way they built the team coming into the year, he makes 32, 33, 34 starts every year. He's an absolute horse.
So Garrett Cole, in their minds, that he's still in his absolute, you know, physical prime, the apex of his superhero powers. He was the best in baseball a year ago. Nobody, it's not like the Yankees were sitting there saying, oh, God, Garrett Cole's 38, and he's been showing signs of breaking down. Maybe we better fortify this thing. No, Garrett Cole's a beast, dude, and he's in his prime. So I understand them thinking, rotation-wise, that they were fairly set is certainly aligned with the offense. Now, Garrett Cole's not there.
You can't account for that.
You can't.
But you could have gone out and gotten another move, which they needed to do anyway, and they didn't.
No, I understand that. But I also think that, I do think that there's a, you remember when this came up? I was not interested in Jordan Montgomery. Remember that? Like, the first time it came up?
Right.
I really didn't have a lot of it. I didn't think he wanted us. I didn't really
Snell,
want him.
Yes.
Snell on a short-term deal? Yes, because I'm unsure about
Cease.
Rodon.
Burns, but not for the price.
I wasn't giving up those prospects. No way. Corbin Burns, that's a different animal, but I still wouldn't give it up Spencer Jones. Maybe I'll have to, you know, eat those words at the end of the year. If Corbin Burns wins the Cy Young and the Yankees, you know, bleep the pot, whatever, we'll revisit that as we go on. I just think that it's almost impossible to cross the bridge in such a definitive way right now without knowing what's going on with Garrett Cole.
BT and Sal on the Fan will come back. We have over-unders for you on the baseball season coming up next hour and taking more of your calls as we get set for Yankees-Astros coming your way at 3:30 on the Fan.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.